Thanks, yes, Dan.
Praise the Lord. Welcome, everybody. It's great to be gathering together, even if it's like this. I know that it's very, very difficult for us because being locked up in our homes, not being able to go anywhere, is very difficult. Yesterday, I took a journey out of our house. We went down to Bunnings to pick up some click and collect, and it was like going on a holiday. I was just so delighted. I kept on saying to my wife, I'm really enjoying this. So we look forward to the lockdown finishing, and we particularly look forward to filling this building again. It's not the same to come here when it's empty, but I'm encouraged to know that you have joined us here today. The situation we have at the present time with COVID has impacted us very, very greatly, and there are some here who are doing a wonderful job in our media team and music, and we thank them for that. In Sydney, we have a number of people who have had COVID, and we thank God that many of them now are recovering. And we ask you to pray for one of the sisters who is in Sydney, who's in hospital in a very, very serious condition. I will not name her, but please, please pray that God will intervene. Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Great to learn about the amount that we have raised to send to Fiji. That will go there to help people in the villages. There's a lot of need around the world at the present time, particularly in third world nations where people just don't have the income. They live from week to week, and if they can't go to work, then they're going to be very hungry. And your giving is going to help them. And by doing this, we're ministering to the body of Christ. We're doing what Jesus would do. Amen. Well, let's turn to the Word of God this morning. I'm very much aware that you have joined this meeting to worship Jesus as well as satisfy the yearning of your heart to know more about God. Maybe there's some watching this service. They've decided to join us because they have thought, well, I think I'll just watch it to see what these people are all about. Life is a journey for every person. God has created us with the intention that during our lives we will prove that we can honour him above all things. And a person who satisfies this proof will not only believe in God, but will trust and obey him throughout the whole of their lives. There's a lot of people believe in God, but it's more than that. It's more than just believing in God. Now, whether we serve God or not, we all have at least one ambition in our life, particularly as we start to become of age, we have ambitions. And most of us will focus upon achieving that ambition. It becomes the goal of our life. Some people, they have an ambition to maybe be a rock star. That's not unusual for young people. Other people may have an ambition to be a scientist. And so it goes on. But generally, the focus of most people can be broken up into two categories. Those who are living their lives to honour God and those who are searching for some other means of life, some other security in which they can invest their life, usually to the exclusion of God. As I preach today, I want you to search your heart. I'm saying this from my heart. Please, search your heart and know what category you are living in. Are you living your life to serve God and honour him, or has God taken a back seat in your life? Every one of us hold things very, very close to our hearts. We take special care of them. Parents, they will care for their children. They'll make sure they're healthy and they'll raise them to be good people. The things that they teach them will allow them to develop in their lives habits that they can use later on throughout their life. And we know the process of steering them through the early years of life is not easy. But let me tell you, parents, it is a great influence on their future. I remember many, many things I was taught as a child by my mother and father, and I have they are still part of my life. Even though my mother's passed away, I still remember the things that she tells me. I was saying to my wife the other day, I can just only hear my mother saying to me on the telephone, "You watch out for your health, keep your mask on," and that's only just what she would probably say today. But there's many other things she used to say to us that I have never forgotten. However, our children must establish their own direction through life. They must become accountable to God themselves. And I'm speaking to you, young people. Listen to what your parents are saying to you, how they're directing you. Because there's going to be a time when you must be accountable to God. You've got to answer before God yourself. And of course, we know that even when our children take the wrong course, we still love them and we hope for the days when they will change their way for the best. Amen. The love we have for our children reflects the way that God loves us and wants to direct us. He is always wanting us to repent of our wrong ways, and he's always ready to grant mercy. And I say this, maybe you're joining us, as I've said today, because you're inquisitive. Maybe you're thinking, well, I'm not exactly sure whether God would have me. Of course he will. He loves you. You're his creation. He wants to show mercy to you. He wants to forgive you. All that you've got to do is pray and repent of your sin and accept him as your Lord and Saviour. And of course, there's the things we own. We care for the things we own. We repair the broken window. If the roof leaks, we make sure that that's fixed quickly. And of course, anything that disrupts the comfort of our life is immediately fixed up. Then, of course, as much as we don't want to admit it, there's the financial savings that are close to our heart. Yes, many of us are very concerned and watch our bank accounts because we want to see them grow. And we're happy when they are accumulating. We're happy when we're able to purchase the things that we want. And, of course, we have special codes these days. It used to be a signature. But these days, it's a code so that unauthorized people cannot get to our money. We carefully protect our savings. But may I say that there's something that many of us are ignorant about that we need to protect far above the things that I've mentioned. And Jesus speaks of these in Mark chapter 8, verse 36. And this forms the text of my message this morning. The title of my message is, "What is the price of a soul?" What is the price of a soul? Now on your screen, Mark chapter 8, verse 36. "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" What price would you pay to save your soul? What would you do to save your soul? Jesus is telling us in this parable that our soul is the most valuable possession that we have in life. Listen to it. Your soul is the most valuable possession you have in this life. I want you to allow me to take a little bit of time to look into something deep here, because the word soul is somewhat mystical. Many folk don't really understand what it is and the part that it plays in our existence. The Bible speaks of the body, soul and spirit. Let me read it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 25. We pray that God himself, the God of peace, will make you pure, belonging only to him. We pray that your whole self, spirit, soul, and body, will be kept safe and be blameless when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Of course, it's not hard for us to distinguish our physical body. You can see me this morning, you can see my body. And when you look in the mirror, that's what you see. Our body is our connection with this world. It's the way that we relate to the realm that's around us, the natural realm. All interactions that we have in this world are through our body. What we see, what we hear, what we smell, and how we communicate, we use our body. But your body can either be used for sin, or you can keep it for God. Your body can become the host of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Isn't that wonderful to know that God's Holy Spirit can take up residence in our body? But as much as we're very conscious of our physical appearance and what we do to look after our body and what we look like, I want to tell you that after the end of our life, it passes away, it turns to dust. We spend a lot of time looking after something that's just going to disintegrate into dust, which tells us there are certain things we really need to care for very, very carefully. Understanding the difference between the soul and the spirit, however, seems complex. We can understand the body because we can see it, but we cannot see our soul and our spirit. Sometimes we think they're the same. However, that's not the case, because the Bible tells us that they have different functions. So let's read in the Bible now, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, which speaks about this. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So we can see by reading this verse that there's a separation between the spirit and the soul. Something happens when we hear God's word. It separates our soul and our spirit. When a person is living in unbelief, when they hear the word of God, all of a sudden they are awakened to something within them that they didn't realize was there. In other words, up until this point, their soul has been domineered by selfish desires. God is not in their life. Their life is all about them. It's In other words, it's all about me, not all about God. But yet, when we hear the word of God, our soul realizes that there's something else within us. Our spirit becomes activated. Now, going back to the soul, it's the realm of where we make our decisions. Now, may I say also that our soul is eternal. It is eternal. That's why we need to care for it, because it lives after death. The destination of our soul will depend upon what you do in this life, whether you go to heaven to be with the living God or whether you go and exist eternally in hell. Quite a frightening thought, isn't it? And I know today that there's not very much preaching on hell. When I was a young man, it was not uncommon for preachers to really, really preach about hell and warn people about where they would go if they're sinners. So today, I suppose, I'm doing a bit of hellfire preaching, telling you that there is a hell. And some people are going to go there because they haven't, their souls are not going to be with the Almighty God in heaven. And so we should protect our soul. It's the most valuable possession. And this verse that we read indicates that it's worth more, more than everything in this world. You cannot have surgery to mend your soul. There are no drugs that will mend your soul. But with Jesus' help, your soul can be repaired in this life. But this can only be done by you. You've got to make up your mind. Amen. You have to determine yes. What's going to happen with your soul. Yes. And of course, that comes by having a spiritual relationship with Jesus. This is the very best thing you could ever do. I remember as a young man, always looking forward to the weekends to come and going out with my friends and probably doing things that would not please God. I would be so enthusiastic, but then after the weekend, it held nothing. My heart was not satisfied. And so that caused me to really start beginning to think, what is life all about? Now, it is said that the soul is the residence of our mind, emotions, and our will. Now, when I say the mind, this is not suggesting that our brain is in our soul, because the soul is not an organ. Our brain processes our thinking. But when we use the word mind here, we are talking about where our thoughts originate, what we imagine. I know this is a bit complicated. Our soul is where we exercise our free will. That's why we have to care for our soul, making sure that the things we decide to do are only the things that God would be happy with. Now let's turn to the spirit. The function of our spirit is spiritual. The spirit is the only way that we can connect with God. And that connection is activated when we believe in God and we reach out to Him. The soul is a channel to the spirit. To connect with God, we must want, first of all, to do this. In other words, it's an act of our will. We've got to want to reach out to God. This doesn't happen automatically. It doesn't happen just because we come and sit in a church. It doesn't happen just because we watch a streaming of preaching. The desire is activated in our mind, that is in our thoughts, and it also involves our emotions. When a person desperately reaches out to God for the very first time, and you've seen it in this church, they very, very often will weep. That is because their emotions are involved. It is through our spirit that we express our love for God. Now, going back to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Before someone hears the word of God, as I've already said, they will only seek after fleshly satisfaction. They're not seeking after God. They're only wanting to please themselves. Now, this is something that is something about being human. The fallen side of man, all that he wants to do is to please himself. But in this state, he has no connection. Our soul has no connection with our spirit. When we hear the word of God, something is sparked in our minds. We become aware that we have a need of him. We have a need of the living God in our lives. Can you remember the first time you heard the word of God preached and somehow it sparked, it did something within you? You'd heard it many times before as a child, but then at some time in your life, something really happened. Yes. So putting it simply, if our emotions are not inclined to want God in our lives, then our mind will not initiate a sincere will to seek after him. This is why we all need to hear God's word. This is why you're watching today. You're listening to God's word. And I believe even as I preach, you are thinking about the things of the Lord. Even though our conscience may prick us to do something about the sin in our lives, we have to use our free will to override and stop those thoughts that would prevent us coming to God. So the word of God works through our soul as a, and we've read it before, as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. When you hear the word of God, it somehow penetrates right into your spirit and you know that you need to do something. In the book of Psalms it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. So let's go back to our text. Mark chapter 8, verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And so, at this point, I want to just say that there are two categories of accumulation in our life. We can accumulate the things of this world. Possessions, popularity, fleshly satisfaction, and so on. Or we can accumulate the spiritual riches of God to nourish our soul. Serving him as Lord of our lives, which means living our lives to please God only. Protecting our soul by seeking to please God in all that we do. In all that we do, to obey the first commandment. Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. All. Not part. It's all. Let us understand that God doesn't want part of us. He wants all of us. Now, don't misunderstand me. God has given us a beautiful world in which we live and many, many things that we enjoy. But he's also given us the Word of God to steer us through life so that things in life don't replace him as the focus. Now, let me take time to dissect the text today. The first words were, "What shall it profit a man?" Profit refers to the gain after a transaction or maybe several transactions over a period of time, like the profit that we may have at the end of a financial year. It's the benefit of an investment. Of course, what shall it profit a man? Well, we need to weigh up what profits us. Then it says, if we shall gain the whole world. This is an expression of a maximum gain. If you gain the whole world, there is nothing else in this world that you can gain. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world? Then it says, and loses his own soul. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The word exchange here means to trade. It says, and lose his own soul. The word here, lose, is probably not the very best word, but it can be translated forfeit. Lose implies that maybe it was an accidental act. Forfeit is a deliberate loss. If you lose your soul, it will be deliberate. Therefore, we need to act. Jesus is telling us here that even if you gain the whole world, it's not enough to buy back your soul at any time. And so much the more after you die. Your soul is your most precious possession. Look after it. Care for it. You need God to help you here. Our flesh is so strong, but God can help every one of us to keep this most precious possession for him. And so we need to protect our soul, because if we lose it, then we lose everything. We lose everlasting life in God's presence. Job said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." I want to say it again. We cannot take anything with us when we die. Houses, money, qualifications, popularity with men, not even our loved ones. This means, friends, that you cannot trade anything for your soul. If you lose it, you've lost it. You can't buy it back. And so I wrote here in my notes, make sure that all of your investments in life can be cashed in the bank of heaven, amen, which is kept in Jesus' name. Yes. The Bible gives us a very graphic account, a parable, it was given by Jesus, about a farmer whose crop returned a large surplus. It enabled him to acquire many goods. It says in Luke chapter 12, verse 18 and 19, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He probably thought something like this, putting it in my words. I'm so happy with myself and what I've achieved. Finally, I am in a place where I have all I need to live comfortably. I've managed to purchase all the things that I want and still have produce in excess. So in preparation for my future, I will enlarge my storehouses. I will celebrate my profits and my gains with my friends, eating and drinking and living a merry life, doing whatever I please. In verse 20, it says, these are stark words. And God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Strange how we spend our life gathering things around us that we can't take with us. The most precious times that we can have in life is the times when we pray to God and tell him, Lord, I belong to you. Lead me through this life. Help me to honour you. So, in my words, because of this man's attitude, God said, and I'm using my words, you are so foolish to feel secure in this world's goods. What has made you think that you can continue without me? Tonight, you will die and leave all behind. The result of all your hard work will be left to another person. Verse 21 says, so is he, and that's bringing it back to us, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. This is not just talking about money and produce and things. This is talking about our hearts as well. So the purpose of this parable is to remind us of the priorities that we should have in life. We should be careful to invest our lives in the kingdom of God. Let me go on and just read verse 22 and 23. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. You know, we dress up, we want to look good, there's nothing wrong with that. But every time you look in the mirror, just think, well, what about my soul? Amen. How should I dress my soul? The text I've taken today has a much larger context. And there are certain parables in the Bible that have a parallel elsewhere in the Bible. And so I turn to the book of Mark now, to the same parable in the book of Mark, chapter 8, verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For Jesus to remain Lord in our lives, there are things we must deny. Now, that's no revelation to you. You know, if you're going to live a godly life, there's certain things you've got to deny. And that's the greatest obstacle that keeps people away from serving God. They think, well, what I've got to give up? Man, oh man, that's crazy. Think beyond this life when you say, what have I got to give up? Think about what you'll be thinking after you die. And of course, then there are the enjoyable things in life. Because we confess the Lord Jesus and refuse to conform with the world that's around us, the way people treat us, the way that we feel rejected. We're not part of the clique and part of the group. And this is when we've got to take up our cross, not a literal cross, and bear the suffering joyfully. Because we are declaring that we are the children of the living God. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. I'm covering a lot of scripture here this morning because I want to let you know it's not me speaking, it's God. It's the Word of God. Whosoever therefore will confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father in heaven. It's not just a matter of what we do with our mouth. Our confession must be in our whole life, the way we live. And of course, that will result in what we say. Amen. Some are listening, who are listening to me this morning, this message will have brought quite a challenge. That's because God's word reaches down to our spirit. You've experienced hearing the word of God, and your soul has caused you to reach down into your spirit. Of course, the word of God will always challenge us, and I've been challenged as I prepared this message and listened to what the Lord wanted me to say to you. Of course, if you don't face the challenge of what you need to do in your life, then when will you do that? A lot of people say, another day. Another day is not good enough. Because while we delay, we're only heaping up more things which will not meet the yearning of our soul. If you need food, putting off eating is not going to satisfy you. We need to know God and have the security of his love. Never forget, this is my main point today, never forget that Jesus has taught us in this parable, the gain of the world in sin will not make up for the ruin of the soul in hell. The price of your soul, consider it, you cannot buy it in this world. You cannot exchange it for anything. Don't think that your money or your qualifications or your popularity is going to enable you to buy it back. There's a day coming when to live for Jesus Christ will appear glorious. There's trials on this earth, temptations. It's not easy to live. But there's a day when we will realize how glorious it is to have Jesus in our life. Please don't say that you're unredeemable. The Bible is so encouraging that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He can make the difference in your life. I trust that today you won't be just thinking about the beautiful day it is outside and is beautiful, things you're going to do, but at this time that you will be thinking of the most important things. What would you be thinking of is the most important thing in your life when you stand before Jesus at the judgment? With Jesus' help, You are the only one who can repair your soul. It's an act of your will. And this can be done only in this life. I want to finish this morning by reading the words of David in the Psalms. Psalm 16, verse 8 to 11. He said, I've set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Has Jesus spoken to you today? Has the Word of God really reached down to your spirit, and your spirit is telling you you need to connect with God's Spirit? Today is the day to do that, not some other day. If you're going to live life to the fullest, then today is the day when you must do something about your soul. Never forget what is the price of a soul. God bless you richly.